Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It is time for an All of It watch party. This is our new series. Think of it as a book club, but for video. We've talked about Bridgerton, Lupin, and today, a documentary that has taken on a life of its own. It's a film that touches on mental health, media boundaries, and control. Last week, we previewed the New York Times documentary Framing Britney Spears. The film follows the singer from her earliest days as a little child performing to her becoming a global superstar with an estimated net worth of $60 million, according to Forbes. Here's Spears at the height of her fame, confident, in control, and clear about what she wants on CNN from 2002.
What is the secret to lasting in the music business?
You know what? I think that there's no real secret. I think you just have to love what you do and just be motivated to do, you know, because I think there's a lot of people that they do it and after a while they're like, okay, I'm going to do something else. You know, I just love what I do and I think your drive says a lot. I mean, I think it boils down to talent, but I think your drive to be a good person and to, you know, stick to doing what you do.
Along the way, there were failed marriages, unsteady partners, extraordinary fame and success. She also tried to have a life, giving birth to two children before she's 25. All along, she is hounded by the paparazzi. She has some sort of mental break, and then in 2008, her father took over her affairs and was named conservator of her estate, leaving him in control of both her massive fortune and her life. And it seems against her wishes. She says she won't perform again until he's removed. The documentary asks viewers to reconsider the way they've been led to think about this woman. With me now to break down this fascinating film and to take your calls is Sophie Gilbert, staff writer for The Atlantic. Her recent piece about the film is titled, Why Were We So Cruel to Britney Spears? Sophie, welcome back to All of It.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So listeners, what did you think of the film? What do you think about what's happened since its release? In what ways did it make you reconsider how you thought about Britney Spears herself or fame more generally, or how the media treated young women at that time in the 90s and the aughts? Give us a call, 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280, or you can tweet to us at All of It WNYC. So I want to talk about it as a film first, and then we'll get into some of the content, Sophie. What works for you about this documentary as a film?
I think the thing I took away from it was, on the face of it, it's a documentary about the conservatorship, the legal, the Free Britney movement, and basically the legal battle that Britney Spears has been taking part in to try and regain some control over her own life and her finances. But it also is this really remarkable thing at the same time, which is a sort of confrontation with the way Britney was treated, and really going on for a while after that, with the fact that she was clearly experiencing a mental health crisis in the public eye, and yet the way in which the media responded, in which people responded online, it was cruel and it was callous in lots of ways. And I think we're sort of confronting how that happened and whether we've evolved enough yet at this point to treat her fairly.
How did you feel watching the film without hearing from Spears, her father, or her mother?
That's such a good question. I think not having those voices in the film doesn't preclude us from understanding certain facts. And I think certainly having so many people who worked intimately with Spears over the years, I particularly recall one of the women who worked as her assistant in the movie, and she had a lot of things to say about Britney. And then there was one thing that a casting agent said, which I think was fairly damning about Jamie, Britney's father. At one point she said, "The only time I ever talked to Jamie, the only thing was my daughter's going to get so rich, she's going to buy me a boat." And obviously that's one person's interpretation, but it's a thing I can't stop thinking about.
Your article references a piece by Vulture's Catherine Van Arendonk, who writes how she thinks that the chronological timeline is important. So let's listen to a clip from the film that addresses this. And this is this woman you mentioned, this woman Felicia, who was sort of Britney Spears' assistant. She was kind of a companion, maybe a little bit of a keeper, describing how the singer grew up. They've known each other since childhood, and why Felicia agreed to be in the film Framing Britney Spears.
I don't know that I ever really had any definition on what I was supposed to do with Britney. For a long time, they called me her chaperone. And then at one point, they wanted to call me her partner, and we didn't think that sounded right. I definitely was not her mother, and I wasn't her big sister, so we settled on assistant. To be honest, I didn't then, nor do I now, understand what a conservatorship is, especially for somebody Britney's age and somebody capable of so much that I know firsthand she's capable of. She was a small-town girl from Kentwood, Louisiana.
Can you describe Kentwood, Louisiana?
Just a tiny, sleepy little town. Very hospitable and humble, unpretentious. We are who we are. We're not wealthy, but we're wealthy in many other ways. We are definitely in right in the middle of the Bible Belt. Britney sang in the choir. She grew up going to church every Sunday. So I've known her since she was five. You know, by then we all knew her talent was just extraordinary. I will say the one reason that I agreed to do the interview is so we could remind people of why they fell in love with her in the first place.
That's from Framing Britney Spears. My guest is Sophie Gilbert from The Atlantic. So, Sophie, what about the timeline allows viewers to understand Britney Spears' struggles?
Fantastic piece, which is that it's fairly uncommon for a documentary to do what Framing Britney Spears does, which is simply to lay things out in chronological order. Often, you know, documentaries jump back and forward in time, and they have sort of dramatic impact from those choices. But this documentary lays out what happened to Britney sort of step by step. In the moment when she had her most profound mental health crisis, it was after the space of, she had two children within the space of a year, and her marriage ended. And I don't think the documentary mentions this, but her aunt also died at the same time. So it gives you a better comprehension of why she might have been struggling so much at that point. And I think in the moment, I remember following along with the story of what was happening to Britney back in 2007. And you sort of lose sight of something when you're in the middle of it like that. You don't have as great of what might be happening to spark someone's profound crisis in that way.
Yeah, it's very interesting. In your piece, you mentioned that nobody mentioned postpartum depression, which would explain a lot of what could have been going on with her two little kids before 25.
Yeah, I mean, I should say I had twins last summer, and nothing has given me a better comprehension of what she might have been going through than having two babies at the same time. I mean, obviously, you know, she was at the same time couldn't even go to the gas station without having hordes of paparazzi following her and shouting at her. And, you know, it just must have been a profoundly pressured environment for someone to be around in, be alive in. And in addition to that, to know that every single thing that she does, every outfit she wears, every place that she goes is scrutinized to such an extent, you know, in this new form, relatively new form of the internet, where suddenly every single banal thing a celebrity does is seen as fascinating content. I mean, it just must have been really extraordinary pressure.
Listeners, what did you think of the film Framing Britney Spears? What do you think about what's happened since its release? Did it make you reconsider how Britney Spears was treated or how women were treated in the media at this time? Give us a call, 646-435-7280, or you can tweet to us at @AllOfItWNYC. Let's go to line one. Leonardo is calling in from Brooklyn. Hey, Leonardo, thanks for calling All of It. You're on the air.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
So tell me, what did you think of the film?
I'm a longtime Britney fan. I have followed her closely for years. People reach out to me to ask what's going on with her as if I actually knew personal details. But there were a lot of things that even me that was following everything closely, you know, were brought to light, like the episode she had at the gas station and, you know, how she was trying to feed her kids that night. So that really put things into perspective and shed a new light on it. But what I also am appreciating right now is that, you know, Britney Spears, we assume, is a person of privilege. You know, she's a female in a male industry in some ways, but, you know, she's still a white woman, and you would assume that because of her success, she's so privileged. But I think it's so important for us to see how people can be treated in an industry. You know, she's being used to generate so much money for so many people, and she has sacrificed her personal life, and she doesn't get to enjoy that because now it has been taken over. And so I think it's really important, and not only for Britney Spears herself, but for other people that might be in the situation and for other celebrities that are being, you know, abused in some ways. So I'm really enjoying seeing what the movement has become after the documentary has come out and how everyone's paying attention to it.
Leonardo, thank you for calling in. Sophie, Leonardo brings me to my next clip really nicely. This is from the film, and it is one of the interviews that Britney Spears does. She's 21 years old in this film, in this piece. Diane Sawyer is interviewing her in 2003, and she's about 22 years old, maybe, and is asking her a pretty cringeworthy question. Let's listen to it, and we can talk about media treatment on the other side.
Britney Spears has upset a lot of mothers in this country, starting with the wife of the governor of Maryland.
Really, if I had an opportunity to shoot Britney Spears, I think I would.
Oh, that's horrible.
Well, she...
That's really bad.
Because of the example for kids and how hard it is to be a parent.
Well, that's really sad that she said that. Ew. I'm not here to, you know, babysit her kids.
Why would this be an acceptable line of questioning? I mean, it made me cringe listening back to it.
It makes me cringe, and it's striking, too, that the two individuals in this interview, the moral voice of reason is Britney. Like, this is a horrible thing to say by any measure to anyone, and to face the subject of the person who's been said. It's really irresponsible line of questioning, I would say. But it's just so striking, too, and I think the thing that the documentary does so well is revealing somewhat how much media wasn't ready for Britney, that she was this woman who was, you know, by her own account, a Christian, who was saving herself for marriage. And at the same time, you know, she wore sexy clothes and she danced and she was confident and she was beautiful. And for some reason, those things all together, the media couldn't quite process at that time. And I think we've become a lot better accepting supposed contradictions in people since then. But at the time, it really set Britney up for so much trouble.
Yeah, and it's interesting that Willa Paskin from Slate wrote something that was fascinating. And it's not something that the film gets to explicitly, but this sort of implicit sense of looking down on her in a way, sort of a class issue is invoked in some of the media coverage. Did you see this in the film?
I did, and it actually made me think about the coverage of Anna Nicole Smith around the same time, where there was a lot of snobbery in the media. I think New York Magazine put Anna Nicole Smith in the cover in 1994 with, and I think a lot of the criticism of Britney because she was Southern was along the same lines. And so it's interesting to revisit that now and to think sort of to what extent like media elites on either coast were looking down on her in that way.
My guest is Sophie Gilbert from The Atlantic. We're talking about the documentary Framing Britney Spears. Sophie wrote a piece called Why Were We So Cruel to Britney Spears? And you talk about in your piece, you recount a monologue from the late night host Craig Ferguson gave in 2007, where he's, you know, it's a monologue. It actually happens around the time of his sobriety anniversary. I think it's the same time. And he says, you know, he realizes that perhaps she has some sort of issues and struggles, and that over the course of past years, she had become a punchline. And they show that in the film, and it's really pretty horrible to watch how people are making jokes about her mental health and whether she's an unfit mother and the like. But here is a clip. It's edited a bit, I do want to say, but you'll get the idea of what Craig Ferguson had to say.
Now, I remember, it's been happening in the press and the media recently, and particularly in the so-called news outlets, the way the media is looking at the world. I kind of had similar feelings when I used to watch America's Funniest Home Videos. You know, you'd be laughing at the kid falling over, and then you go, wait a minute, put down the damn camera and help your kid. What the hell is wrong with you? And I think we're kind of holding the camera, and people are falling apart. People are dying. That Anna Nicole Smith woman, she died. No, it's not a joke. You know, it stops being funny. That she's got a 6-week-old kid or 6-month-old kid. What the hell is that? You know, and I'm starting to feel uncomfortable about making fun of these people. And for me, comedy should have a certain amount of joy in it. It should be about us attacking the powerful people, attacking the politicians and the Trumps and the blowhards and the going after them. We shouldn't be attacking the vulnerable people. And I think, this is totally a mea culpa, this is just for me. I think my aim's been off a bit recently. I want to change it a bit. So tonight, no Britney Spears jokes. This woman has two kids. She's 25 years old. She's a baby herself. She's a baby.
Why did this seem radical at the time, Sophie?
I think because everyone else was making fun of Britney and was treating her as a punchline, and late night hosts were, the internet was, gossip bloggers were. I mean, even we saw Diane Sawyer's questioning towards her earlier, not being entirely empathetic and humane. So what Craig Ferguson was doing felt radical simply because it was uncommon. And it is really interesting to me that, like you said, he had been in recovery and he had obviously gone through an amount of personal struggle himself, and so was able to incline certainly to be much more empathetic to this woman, this mother of two babies who was having a mental health crisis in the most public way possible. But it's also really striking to me in that clip that how conditioned we as an American audience had become to laughing at people mm-hmm. in crisis. And when he says, you know, Anna Nicole Smith, she died, the audience laughs. Like, they think it's funny. it's a punchline for them because they had been so habitualized, so conditioned into seeing women in crisis as funny, as big as a fuck.
Let's go to Elizabeth, who has called in. Hi, Elizabeth. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi. Excuse me. I just, by the way, just love, love, love your show. I'm so glad this film was made. I haven't had a chance to really see the film. I've seen clips and I've seen the filmmaker interviewed. And I just want to say that Brittany is the same age as my daughter. And when she was beginning to publicly exhibit signs of what were mental health crises, I was appalled at the way she was treated in the press and all the press for in different ways. And even on MSNBC, which at the time so many family and friends were watching because it was, quote, the left-wing alternative to other press. And I thought she was being destroyed for some kind of public town hall commons. I don't even know what to call it. And all I wanted to do was to reach out and hug her. Right. And the fact that this was happening to a young white woman from the South, where there was no empathy for what was happening to her, you know, says to me that this has happened all the time for young women of color who are in this industry and other industries mm-hmm. and never receive any kind of sympathetic or empathetic attention. And she did not either. And it just, it's heartbreaking to me that this is what happens to young women or any woman. Mm.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for calling in. Let's go to Julia, who's calling in from Harlem on line one. Hi, Julia. Thanks for calling All of It. You're on the air.
Hi. I watched the documentary, and I resisted it, and then I was like, no, you know, it's a female story. And I was a teenager when she was first getting popular, and I was struck by all of the big deal about her virginity. And when she was with Justin Timberlake and when they broke up and how she, all the slut shaming and, like, you know, just asking her if she had had sex with it, like, that all baffled me. I totally had forgotten about it, but it had been this big deal. And then it reminded me about how, Janet Jackson got all the slack after the Super Bowl when mm-hmm. Justin Timberlake, you know, ripped off her,
her
top shirt. And yeah. revealed her and she Janet Jackson got all the slack and Justin Timberlake got nothing, and there was no apology in the Britney Spears, and there's no apology, you know, for Janet Jackson. Like, what, women are always to blame for their sexuality, and that's what it was made me
great think. Point Julia, thank you for calling in. Sophie, you sort of pointed to that as well, that there's a certain sort of sexual shaming of her as well.
Yeah, and I think the double standard is really crucial to point out. And certainly, specifically the way that Britney was treated, she was so young when she first arrived on the public scene. I mean, I think she was 16 or 17. And the prurient way with which people sort of fixated on the idea that she was a virgin, or fixated on, you know, she was asked in one interview in Framing Britney Spears about her breasts immediately. That was the first question that came up. And you just think, this is a teenager, this is a young woman. It's none of our business. It's really no one's business what she does in her private life apart from hers. And yet it really was this objective obsession, like whether she was a virgin, who she slept with, who she was dating. And that, I think, has changed since then. But like the caller said, the double standard has been really, really striking.
I've been speaking with Atlantic staff writer Sophie Gilbert for our watch party. We've been discussing the FX series Framing Britney Spears, which is streaming on Hulu. Callers, thank you so much for calling in. And Sophie, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.